I invite you to open your Bibles back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll be studying this text a little more this evening. Chuck Griffiths sent an email and wrote a blog informing me, I did not know this, that November is National Adoption Month. And the reason I share that with you, you may or may not know that Chuck and Jane adopted a little boy they named Edward. And Edward was in Patrice's K-3 class last year. So when she would let me into the classroom, I got to know Edward pretty well. She claims that when I'm in there, I get them riled up and then I leave and then she has to settle them back down. But that's her side of the story. I just love the kids. But Edward's a delight. He's a sharp, sharp young man, and he has brought a lot of joy, no doubt, to Chuck and Jane. You may also, or you may not also know that Chuck himself was adopted. And so when he writes about November being National Adoption Month, this is something that means a lot to him. And he wrote, I want to read a few statements that he wrote in his blog. He said, "I was adopted and have been through the system as a child. I speak from experience, not only as a father who adopted a bundle of joy we call Edward, but also as one who has been on the other end of the process." "What goes through the mind," Chuck writes, he asks, "of a child who awaits adoption? They spend their days wondering if they're lovable, valuable, redeemable, and salvageable. They ask, does anyone love me? Will a family find that child lovable and valuable enough to spring them from the prison of despair, loneliness, and hopelessness by adopting them?" He concludes, "You answer that question." But I want to remind us tonight that God is in the adoption business. And Paul writes about it in Ephesians chapter 1. And the good news is that he wants to adopt you and, in fact, everyone else into his family. Let's study the topic, predestined to adoption. We're going to have to define some terms here, but that's the title, predestined to adoption. Look with me, verses 4 and 5. "Just as he chose us," God chose us in him, in Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless, or without blame before him, in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the goodness or the good pleasure of his will." As we look at verses 4 through 6, notice first of all the motive for adoption. We read in verses 4 and 5 that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And in our Bibles, just like in this, the New King James Version, is in love is attached to the idea preceding that he chose us in him and that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. However, some translators believe that in love should be the introduction to the thought in verse 5. That in love he predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. And it's certainly true that God's act of predestination to adoption was motivated by his love. Holy and blameless in verse 4 more likely has to do with our position in Christ, how God views us in Christ. Therefore, the reference in love is probably referring to God's love. And we should understand that it's because of his love for us that he predestined us to be his children. So the NIV translates it, "In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ." This certainly would fit other passages such as 1 John 3 and verse 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God." I also like the NIV translation because of one particular word that is used. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. I love that word, lavished, because it just expresses how He just poured out His love. What incredible love God has for us that He would invite us to be His children. So love is that motive for God's adopting us into His family. But notice the plan, secondly, for adoption. And this gets into that word predestined. Predestined. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. That word predestined comes from two root words. One meaning for or prior to, the other meaning to mark out or bound. So put it together, it means to determine beforehand, to foreordain, to predestine. Before the world began, God determined something that would happen. He predetermined it. He foreordained it. And the word, when it's used in Paul's writings, and we find a couple of uses here in Ephesians chapter 1, he's always determining something from eternity or before He created the world. So here's a question similar to the one we posed this morning. Does this passage teach that our salvation or our adoption as God's sons is strictly a matter of God's arbitrary election settled before the world was made, irrespective of any choice that we may exercise in the matter? Some would say yes, but I believe unequivocally that the Bible teaches otherwise. Because this idea that God predetermined which individuals were going to be saved, which individuals were going to be lost, or which individuals He would accept as children, and which individuals He would reject before He created the world, would make void every passage in the Bible that teaches human responsibility. If one's eternal destiny was sealed from the beginning of time, what is the purpose of preaching to the lost, if that's the case? Again, I highlight a phrase that I think is key, and that's the phrase, in Him. We talked about verse 4 this morning. Notice it again. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. It was not the case that God chose certain individuals to be either saved or lost. Rather, the Lord foreordained that a certain class or a certain group of persons would be saved. Who is in that class? It's those who are in Him, in Christ. That's the plan that God predetermined before He created the world. Those who are in Him, in Christ, are those who have submitted to heaven's divine plan of redemption. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 again. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's how we get into Christ. Into that sphere, into that relationship, into that union with Christ, where we enjoy every spiritual blessing, including partaking of this plan that God predetermined that He would save those who are in Christ. And Paul says there's something else that's incredibly special about that in Him relationship, and he calls it adoption. Adoption. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. This word is used 5 times in the New Testament, 3 times in reference to the present state of Christians. It's one of the terms that's used. Again, baptism is called the new birth. We're born into God's family. But Paul also uses this idea of being adopted into God's family. And in the historical context of Paul's writing, the word, the idea was the same as you and I would understand it today. For example, in Roman law, in the first century, provision was made for the transaction known as adoptio, the taking of a child who was not one's child by birth to be his son. Also, erogatio, the transference of a son who was independent, as by the death of his proper father, to another father by solemn public act of the people. Thus, among the Romans, a citizen might receive a child who is not his own by birth into his family and give him a name, but he could do so only by a formal act, attested by witnesses, and the son thus adopted had in all its entirety the position of a child by birth, with all the rights, obligations pertaining to that. That was Roman law. And it's basically the same understanding that we would have of the adoption process today in our society. But let's look at it from God's viewpoint again. He predestined us to be adopted as His sons. That word to, T-O, means with a view to, signifying the purpose for which God predestined us. God's purpose then was to have children. In this context, it means to receive all the blessings, the privileges, the responsibilities of sonship. God wants to add, He wants to adopt us into His family, and so that we can be recognized as being fully sons and daughters of His, with every blessing and privilege and responsibility that is encompassed in that. I love this summary statement by Eddie Clower. God predestined, determined beforehand, decided in beginningless eternity past that He would adopt those who came into Jesus and would make them His children, giving them all the rights, riches, and responsibilities of His divine family. God predetermined, determined beforehand, this plan by which we can be adopted into His family. He predestined us to be adopted as His sons. Notice the scripture says, through Jesus Christ. It's all because of what Jesus has done for us that we can be adopted into His family. Let me bring in a couple of other passages in the New Testament that speak to this. Galatians 4 is one of those. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But notice Paul echoes here, it's because of what Jesus has done for us that we can be adopted into His family and cry out, Abba, Father. Romans chapter 8, you did not receive, he says to Christians, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. See, this predestination, this predetermined plan, has to do with our receiving spiritual blessings as the children of God. But it was effected through Jesus Christ. Here's a summary statement for you. God predestined that those who are in Christ will be His children. He predestined that those who are in Christ will be His children. Notice the end of verse 5. In accordance with His pleasure and will, or such was His will and pleasure, or it pleased Him to do this. God is pleased. He is overjoyed, no doubt, to add people, to adopt more and more into His family. But don't miss this. Notice thirdly, the glory of adoption. And this takes us to verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. That's the New King James. NIV states it, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the One that He loves. You see, the emphasis in verse 6 is on God's grace. That unmerited favor. That something that we need but we don't deserve. God's choosing us and making us His children was initiated and consummated by the goodness and kindness and the graciousness of God. What Paul is saying is that all glory goes to God and His grace. This idea of being adopted into His family. We don't get the credit for it. He gets the glory for loving us so much that He would take us into His family. Because it is His grace that has made us accepted in the Beloved, that He's freely given us in the One that He loves. And who is that? In the One that He loves? Who is the Beloved? It's Jesus Himself, isn't it? You remember when Jesus was baptized by John, Matthew chapter 3? The God, the Father, spoke from heaven and said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appear to Jesus, and Jesus, His image was changed, transfigured. And another God spoke again from heaven, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear Him." This is My beloved Son. And it's through Jesus that God makes us acceptable. You see, our sin leaves us unacceptable to God. But because of Jesus and through His shed blood on the cross, we can be cleansed from our sins. And by that grace extended to us, we become acceptable and even adopted into God's family. As I was studying about this, I was reminded of something that I had read years ago. In fact, wrote a Living Water about back in June of 2005. So if you have a good memory, you may remember this. But it's about Mary Ann Byrd, who was born with multiple birth defects. And she suffered not only from the physical impairments of those birth defects, but also the emotional trauma of just being different from other children. Here's her story in her own words from her personal writings entitled "The Whisper Test." This is what she wrote. "I grew up knowing I was different, and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate. And when I started school, my classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others. A little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. When schoolmates asked, 'What happened to your lip?' I'd tell them I'd fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside my family could love me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade whom we all adored, Mrs. Leonard by name. She was short, round, happy, a sparkling lady. Annually, we had a hearing test. Mrs. Leonard gave the test to everyone in the class, and finally it was my turn. I knew from past years that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at her desk would whisper something, and we would have to repeat it back. Things like, 'The sky is blue,' or, 'Do you have new shoes?' So I waited for those words. She uttered 7 words that changed my life. She whispered, 'I wish you were my little girl.' she said those words, changed her life. I wish you were my little girl. When I studied about this idea of adoption and God wanting to adopt us in this family, this story just came back to me. Because it has so many parallels with our condition and what God wants to do for us. When in our sin, we're deformed, if you will. We are lost. We're unfit to be, in fact, in God's presence. But He doesn't just say, I wish you were my child. He says, I want you to be my child. And this is how much. I want you to be my child so much that I'm going to give my beloved son to die for you so that your sins can be washed away by His blood. And when you accept that offer on my terms, I'm going to adopt you into my family. So God predestined, determined beforehand, decided in beginningless eternity past that He would adopt those who would come into Jesus, surrendering to His will, and He would make them His children. And along that would give them all the blessings, the riches, and the responsibilities of being a member of His divine family. What manner of love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. That's His predetermined plan. But the choice is up to you and to me and to every individual. So my strong encouragement to everyone in this audience and to everyone else we can speak with is to elect to be one of the elect, is to choose to be one of the chosen ones. It's to decide to be one of God's predestined children. Because the choice is whether or not we're going to accept His offer. Perhaps you're ready tonight to act upon that predetermined plan where God made it possible through the gift of His beloved Son to die on the cross for our sins so that you and I can become children of God. We can be adopted into His family. If you're ready to act on that, we hope and pray that you'll respond even tonight. If you need the prayers of the church on your behalf, that's a blessing of being a part of God's family. So we have a family to pray with us and for us. And we want to do that with you. If you'll just come and let that be known as together we stand and sing.